Okay, we're beginning here on the Mishnah on the top of Ted Vavam and Aleph. Just a little chazara before we start the Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, we had a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said, Misachin ben Sarim, you can put on boards, you can use boards for your sach. Rabbi Meir says that you cannot do that. We had a machloka to Rav and Shmuel as to what is the machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about. Rav says that they all agree that as long as the board is under four tefachim, that it's ksheira. The machloket is only at four tefachim, where they have a machloket as to Rabbi Yehuda saying there's no problem, there's no gzeirat tikra, and Rabbi Meir says that there is a problem of gzeirat tikra. That's the way Rav learned it. Shmuel, on the other hand, learned that above four tefachim, or four tefachim and above, everybody agrees that it's psula. The only machloket is between three and four tefachim. Below three tefachim, everybody agrees that it's gzeira. That machloket exists between three and four tefachim, as to whether we have gzera tikra or we don't have gzera tikra. Now we have our Mishnah. Tikra she'ein alea maziva. It's a roof, but doesn't have the plaster on it. It has the boards for a roof that was placed there, but doesn't have plaster on top of it, which would either allow you to build another level on top of it or to put a roof over there. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Beit Shammai omrim mifakpeik v'nota lachat mi bentayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Beit Shammai believes that you have to, number one, lift up all the boards. You have to, bifakpeik means to shake them to move the boards. And then, beyond that, you have to be notel achat mi bentayim. You have to take out every other board and place schach in its stead. Ubeit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel says, mifakpeik, o notel achat mi bentayim. You don't need both of them. You can do either or. Either you can move all the boards, or you can take out every other board. Rabbi Meir omer, notel achat mi bentayim, ve'enu mifakpeik. Rabbi Meir says that you take one out from the middle, and you can't use pikpuk over here. This lifting up of the boards doesn't do anything. The only way you can solve the problem is by taking one out from in between every two boards. Bishlama Beit Hillel, tamayu mishum ta'ase ve'lo minasui. According to Beit Hillel, we understand what is going on in the Mishnah, because they have a problem of ta'ase ve'lo minasui, which is here you have a roof that's already built, and since it's built already, how do you solve that problem? Well, you can solve it in one of two ways. You can either solve the problem by lifting up the boards, or you can solve the problem by taking every other board out and putting in schach in between. So, e mefakpeik avid le'mase, e notel achad mibentayim avid be'mase. Either way, he's accomplished the action that now changes it into a kosher sukkah versus the roof that it was before. El beit shemai maitamayu. What's the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's position? The whole problem is Taseh v'lo min asui, do one or the other. Why do you need both in order to get rid of Taseh v'lo min asui? The problem here is that it looks too much like a roof, and a person's going to make a mistake. Mali, this type of roof, Mali, the roof in my house, why does it make a difference? Then, the only way you should be able to solve it is by pulling out every other board. So why do I need both? So the olam mishum gzera tikra. The reason that they have it is because of gzera tikra. V'hochi kamrei af al pi shemifak peik ino telachad mi bentayim in ilo lo. The verse says that they're really responding to Beit Hillel in a sense, which is mifak peik is not sufficient. It's not a significant enough maaseh to do anything. They're saying even if you do mifak peik, you haven't done anything. The only way to solve the problem is to lift out the boards from in between. The verse says yochi. Then what are you going to do with Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, Meir, no tell achat mi bentayim, aval meil yipak peik. So then Rabbi Meir ends up being exactly like Beit Shammai. So why do you need Rabbi Meir to come along? Beit Shammai is already saying that. He says, Rabbi Meir, hainu Beit Shammai. That turns out that Rabbi Meir is equal to Beit Shammai. Hochi kamar. This is what it means. Lo nechluku Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. That's exactly what he's responding to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a machloke Beit Hillel b'Beit Shammai. Along comes Rabbi Meir and says, there is no machloka Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. They both agree that the only way to solve the problem is to take one from in between. Mifak Peik doesn't do anything. Maika Mashvalon, what are you teaching us then? The Rabbi Meir itle gzera tikra. Rabbi Meir subscribes to this problem of gzera tikra. Rabbi Yehuda late gzera tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to this gzera tikra. Haifliguba chada zimno. That's exactly what we just had in the previous Mishnah. Tetznan, Misachim and Nisarim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Oser. So you already have this machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether there is a Gzerat Tikra or not. Why rehash the same problem again, or rehash this issue that Rabbi Meir is saying, I have Gzerat Tikra? He just said it in the previous Mishnah. So, Amar Rabbi Chir Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha B'Nisarim Mishupim Askinan, U'Mishum Gzerat Kelim Naguba. So the Reisha, the first Mishnah that we saw yesterday's Mishnah, is talking about boards that are planed. Boards that are planed are not only useful to use for the roof, but they're now useful that you can actually make them into utensils. They are more processed. They're further along in the process in terms of these boards. They've been planed, they've been sanded. They can really be utilized for something besides just the tikra. You could use them now for kelim. So mushum gzerat kelim nagupa. They're so close or so far processed to becoming a keli, which you couldn't use because it's mekabel tuma. So chamim or gozer in that case because they're just too far along in the process. Similar to what Tosafot said with regards to Tevi about the anitzei pishtan, even though they're not spun, they're so close to being spun that the chachamim or gozer there to make it schach pasul. Ule Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Damar Sacha Bechitzin Zicharim Ksheira Benekevot Psula. What about the memra also from back on the Gemara and Shabbat that we saw that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav allowed you to use male arrowheads as schach, but not female arrowheads? The difference being that the male arrowheads had a protrusion out of them that inserted them into the back of the arrow, whereas the female ones had a hole where the back of the arrow was inserted into them. So do they have a Beit Kibul, or do they not have a Beit Kibul? So there we said that Bechitzim Zecharim is fine, Bez Nekevot is Psula, Velo Gazar Zecharim Atu Nekevot. That was the Kamash Malan there. The Gemara said Pshita, that you can use the male arrowheads. The Gemara said, no, Kamash Malan, that we're not Gozer Atu Nekevot. So Achanami Lo Nigzor Nisarim Mishupim Atu Kelim. If you're not going to take the male arrowheads and be Gozer for the female arrowheads, then that's much closer than saying that these plain boards are going to be for kelim. If you're not going to have a gzeirah by the arrowheads, then why are you going to have a gzeirah in this instance? Elor kochach reisha plige gzeirat tikra, v'seifa plige gzeirat tikra. Well, it's clear here that we have the same machloket in both mishnayot. The previous mishnah from yesterday's daf and the mishnah from today, they're both arguing about the same point. So now, v'afligu betarte zima lamali. So then, the basic question is, why do they have to argue twice about this? What's the point of arguing twice about the same thing? So Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda, deka amarle, the Rabbi Meir. So in this Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, Amaika asart v'nisarim mishum gzerat tikra. What's the point here of arguing about this gzerat tikra? Your position's high svara, the Beit Shammai hu dihu. You're following the position of Beit Shammai. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda sets up the machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says the only problem here is taseh velo min asui. The problem that Beit Shammai says is it's not just taseh velo min asui, it's a problem of gzerat tikra. He says to Rabbi Meir, in the previous Mishnah, you have gzerat tikra, your whole position is premised in Beit Shammai. So why do you have that position? You're not the alocha, you're following Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel lo gazri. But if you follow Beit Hillel, there is no gzerat tikra. V'amar Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's response to Rabbi Yehuda. Lo nechlechu Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. That this is not a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both agree that there's a problem with gzeirat tikra. And that's why I feel there's a gzeirat tikra here, because I'm following Beit Hillel. I don't see the same machloket that you see, but rather I'm following Beit Hillel, because I think Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both think there's a gzeirat tikra over here. So now we move back to Rav and Shmua, which is Anicho the Rav. This works well for Rav, Damar machloket Beyesh Behen Arba'a. Because then the machloket here is a case when we have four tevachim. The Rabbi Meir it leg zerat tikra, Rabbi Yehuda leg zerat tikra. So that's why Rabbi Meir has zerat tikra. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have zerat tikra because we're talking about boards that are four tevachim. Oh, the Shmuel damar b'she'in ben arba amachloket, but he says even below four tevachim machloket, avayish ben arba divya kol psula. If you hit four, everybody thinks it's psula. Seifa b'may plige. Then what's the machloket here in the seifa? Because here we're definitely talking about gzeirat tikra. So here we're talking about, and this is important, Rashi on the Mishnah, as well as Tosafot on the Mishnah say that the tikra that we're speaking about here is a standard tikra. And a standard roof is made out of boards that are four tefachim. So if the Mishnah is talking about boards that are four tefachim, then I can understand the flow from the previous Mishnah into this Mishnah. If they're arguing about gzeirat tikra, which is a four tefachim issue, then I can say, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, why are you following Beit Shammai? And along comes Rabbi Meir and says, I'm not. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree, and I'm following Beit Hillel. But we can connect between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, because this Mishnah is talking about four tefachim, and the previous Mishnah then is talking about four tefachim. But according to Shmuel, if the standard roof that we're talking about in this Mishnah is 4 tefachim, and then in the previous Mishnah they're arguing, but they're arguing about below 4 tefachim, because everybody at 4 tefachim agrees that it's psula, then what's the whole conversation that is being laid out in this Mishnah?
We have to say that our Mishnah is...
That's what Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says it, and Tosafot says, Vadinimo. He says that Rashi's right over here, that we're definitely talking about 4 tefachim, because the whole idea of Zeret Tikra means that it's talking about 4 tefachim. That means that a standard roof is 4 tefachim. Otherwise, why would you make a Gzerat Tikra? And if we're talking about a standard roof, then when the Mishnah says Tikra, it's talking about a classic case of roof, which is 4 boards of 4 tefachim that are all adjacent to each other. So that's the way that Rashi and Tosafot explain it. We'll show that there are other Rishonim that disagree. What are they dealing with in this Seifa? So he says, "Vebitule tikra kamiflege." They're arguing in removing a tikra. Marsaver b'teila b'hochi. Marsaver b'hochi lo b'teila. That this is a different issue. There are two issues here, and the way that Shmuel breaks up the Mishnayot is, I have the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, you're putting up a sukkah. When you're putting up a sukkah, the issue of zerat tikra comes up. The issue of zerat tikra is no boards that are 4 tefachim wide. Period. Below 4 tefachim, we're going to allow you, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, we won't allow you, but once you hit 4 tefachim, we're not going to let you put it up. The second Mishnah, this Mishnah is dealing with, you have a roof already. Now, what can you do about it? Does Gezerah Tikra continue to apply over here? And that's a secondary machloket, which is that if you have a roof of 4 tefachim boards, what can you do with it? Rabbi Meir says nothing. Gezerah Tikra applies both when you put boards up, and it also applies when it's already existing. Rabbi Yehuda says that Gzerat Tikra is if I come to build a roof with boards that are 4 tefachim wide, we say no. But if I have an existing roof that is 4 tefachim wide, then I can solve that problem by, and then we have the machloket here about how I can solve the problem, whether it's mifakpeik or notel echad bintayim. Rashi says, why should there be a difference? Why is there any difference? If a board of 4 tefachim is asur, then it's asur. Why does it make a difference if you're putting it on for the first time, if you're taking it out afterwards? In both cases, no tasa leminasoi. So the answer is exactly along the lines of what Shaul is saying is, well, if the whole problem putting up 4 tefachim boards is zera tikra, here you're actually using a tikra and you're saying it's fine. That is because you're doing a maisa. By doing a maisa, you indicate that we don't have the problem. What was the zera tikra? The person's going to say, Mali, the boards that are 4 tefachim, Mali tikra shababayit. So we're going to have a problem, which is a guy's just going to use his roof. Over here, this guy clearly knows that's not the case. Because the way he solves his problem with Zerat Tikra is that he's pulling out every other board, or he's being mefakpeik every board. It's clear he's not going to make the mistake and say, oh, I'm going to use my roof, because he knows that that doesn't work. Because he's taking an action to show that this to undo why it's a Tikra. So if he does that, you're not going to have this, the Zerat Tikra no longer applies to this individual. Okay, that's the way that Rashi explains it. Now, in Rashi and Tosafot's explanation, now let's move back, we have to understand Rav. So according to Rashi and Tosafot, this is what's happening with Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the 4 tefachim boards, that's where you have your machloket. Under 4 tefachim, there is no machloket. Based on that, he says that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue about whether there is a Gzera Tikra whatsoever. Is there a Gzera Tikra or is there no Gzera Tikra? Then we move to the next Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't understand you, Rabbi Meir. You're subscribing to the position of Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel. And Rabbi Meir responds and says, no, because Beit Hillel holds like Beit Shammai, and everybody holds a Gzera Tikra. So that's the way that Rav views it. Now, in Rav's position, Rabbi Meir is interesting. Rabbi Meir says, first of all, that if you take Notel Achat Mi Bentayim, if you take out every other board, it's fine. But if you're mefakpeik, it's not good. So the answer of why that is because taking every other board out is a real maisa. You're doing something significant, so that's enough to solve the problem of gzerat tikra. On the other hand, being mefakpeik is not sufficient to solve that problem because it's not a big enough maisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that either or. Either or is sufficient. But even within the position of Rabbi Yehuda, there is a differentiation. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you take out every other board, you really only have to lift every other board. You replace every other board with schach. On the other hand, if you're mefakpeik, you can't just be mefakpeik every other board. You have to lift all the boards. So again, this idea that mefakpeik is less of a maisa than taking out every other board survives both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, You have to take out every other board and replace it with schach. That's it. The in-between boards, you don't have to do anything with them. The in-between boards are fine to leave them. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a board that is 4 tefachim wide is not an issue. It's not an issue of zera tikrai. So you don't have pasul schach. And you have tasev lo menasui being your only problem. Taking out every other board, well, enough of a maisa that changed the dynamic. On the other hand, if you want to be mefakpek, if you want to just be menaneya, then you have to lift every board that is there in order for it to be sufficient to change it from taseh lominasui to a maaseh. Alright, so that's Rabbi Meir says that mifakpeik is not sufficient to take away the problem of taseh lominasui. So he says that the only way to do it, or only thing that's significant enough, is that you take out every other board and then you put in schach kasher. That's only significant enough maaseh to change the dynamic that is here. Otherwise, you can't change the dynamic. In addition to that, you still have a problem somewhat, according to Rabbi Meir, which is, he does have Zerat Tikra. If the boards are 4 tefachim, then according to him, every board that's left behind is also Schach Pasul. Meaning that it's not just that it's Schach and it's 4 tefachim, we don't worry about it. But either you have to say that taking every other one out is enough here to get rid of the problem, because now you have done a significant enough action, or you have to say within Rabbi Meir's position that the Schach Kasher that you put in is sufficient to be mevatel the boards that are in between it. Because you've now replaced the schach. Not enough that you didn't mefakpeg, but you actually replaced the schach and put real schach in there. That's enough to be the rove and to mevatel the boards that are in between. For him, the boards in between are 4 tefachim wide, and that causes a problem. Because for him, 4 tefachim boards are pasul. They're zerat tikra. So every other board that you lifted out, you solved that problem. But the boards you left behind, they're still problematic. According to Rav, we know later on, the Gemara is going to say that in Rav's position, that the only 4 amot in the middle are pasul, not 4 tefachim. Pasul schach is pasul both on the side, with dofen akuma, and in the middle by 4 amot. So a 4 tefachim board is not going to cause you a problem over here, and that's most likely how Rav is going to explain the whole Mishnah for Rabbi Meir. Because a 4 tefachim board, even though there's zera tikra, it's not pasul schach that ruins the sukkah in the middle, because it's 4 tefachim, and therefore the whole sukkah is kshera. That's Rav. Now let's move on to Shmuel. Shmuel says here that there's a difference between a roof up front versus a roof after the fact. A roof up front, you have to do it according to everyone. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, if you put up 4 tefachim boards, you out of luck. It's not a good sukkah because of gzeirat tikra. On the back end, if you already have a roof that's up there that's 4 tefachim, if you take an action, then we're going to say we don't worry about gzeirat tikra anymore because you've demonstrated that you understand that tikra doesn't work. So how much of a demonstration do you have to make? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's either notela chad mei bentayim or mifakpeg et kulam. That's a sufficient of action. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says no, that the only way to solve that problem is to take achat mei time. You need a significant maiseh to overcome that problem. Mifakpeg will not solve your problem. Now, according to Shmuel, we have the same problem we just had in Rav, which is according to Rabbi Meir, and you still have boards that are 4 tefachim wide inside there that are psulim. And for him, it's even more problematic because even Rabbi Huda agrees that a board that's 4 tefachim wide is pasul. And Shmuel believes that schach pasul in the middle is 4 tefachim, and then it ruins it for you. And now you still have all these boards of 4 tefachim in the middle. So Rashi says here, and again, Tosafot says that Rashi is correct. Rashi says it here, he said it on the previous Mishnah. According to Shmuel, the only way that this works is where you have a sukkah that is 8 amot wide, and you're alternating board, schach, so in the middle, you end up with 2 layers of schach, 2 sets of 4 tefachim of schach, so you get 8 tefachim of schach in the middle, and that's what gives you your kosher sukkah. The remainder is dofen akuma, and the middle is where you have the kosher sukkah. Okay, Rav could either say that, or Rav has the other ability, which is that Rav's of the opinion that only 4 amot are pasul in the middle. So because of that, he has another way to solve the problem, which is, since it's only 4 tefachim, pasul schach doesn't ruin your sukkah of 4 tefachim, because only 4 amot of pasul schach ruin your sukkah. So that's probably the way Rav will solve it. He doesn't have to go through the gymnastics that Shmuel does to say that it's exactly a 4 amot sukkah and that they meet in the middle. That's the way Rashi and Tosafot learn the Gemara. Alright, that's the way they deal with it. The Ramban says that he disagrees with this whole approach of Rashi. He explains this in the Rif, but he says that the tikra we're talking about here is not 4 tefachim wide. The tikra we're speaking about here is smaller strips, even a tefach wide. Why is there a gzera tikra then if it's only a tefach wide? He says that's exactly the difference. The previous Mishnah is talking about boards that are 4 tefachim wide. That's a gzeirat tikra. The problem here is not of the size of the boards, but the fact that it was a tikra. It doesn't matter what size the boards were. You're starting here. It says tikra she'nalem aziva. You're starting with a roof. So the size of the boards are irrelevant. The fact is that you started with a roof. Since you started with a roof, then even if they're 1 tefachim wide, it was a roof. And that's why there's a problem. So that means that the previous Mishnah is talking about 4 tefachim wide boards. And here we're talking about a roof that exists. A roof that exists. We are not concerned about the size of the boards. We're concerned that it was a roof. Once you do that, then you solve this problem for Shmuel. Because then Shmuel doesn't have to do some gymnastics to say it's only in the middle where it's kasher. Because now he can just say that if the boards are 1 tefachim, once you start to do a maisa, even according to Rabbi Meir, if you take out every other board, then the remaining boards are kasher tzchach. They're not 4 tefachim, so they're not problematic. That's both according to Rabbi Meir in Rav, as well as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda inside of Shmuel. So that's how the Ramban solves this problem. The problem in the Ramban's Pshat, and why Rashi and Tosafot disagree, says that if there's a Gzeirat Tikra, which is 4 tefachim, then your assumption should be that most Tikrot, most roofs are made with 4 tefachim boards. And for a Mishnah to come all of a sudden and say Tikra, and not mean 4 tefachim boards, it had to identify that or had to say that. Otherwise, it should be a standard roof that we're speaking about here. And standard roofs, according to the Gemara, are 4 tefachim boards. Why would you have a Gzeirat Tikra if Tikrot weren't made that way? So it must be that Tikrot in general are made with 4 tefachim boards. And the Mishnah comes and says, I have a standard Tikra here. That's what Rashi and Tosafot based their argument on. Obviously, the Ramban felt that to make Shmuel into this crazy case where it's only meeting in the middle. He said, no, that doesn't make sense. The Mishnah must be talking about Tikra. And in this position of Shmuel, we're talking about Bitulei Tikra. It must be that we're talking about a pre-existing Tikra. A pre-existing Tikra, we ignore what the size of the boards are. It's all about the fact that it was a Tikra. Next Mishnah. Amikare sukato bishipudim o be'arukot amita. Someone who uses for schach these metal spits or the bed frames. Im yesh revach b'nehem kemotam. If there's sufficient space between them that is equal to the amount that they are k'shera, that is kosher schach, then the sukkah is k'shera. Hachotei begadish, this we already mentioned earlier, someone who digs into a pile of grain or a pile of straw, lasot lo sukkah, enu sukkah. That is a classic problem of taseh velo min asui, which is that you don't build the walls, you don't build the roof, you simply tunnel in. By tunneling in, there is a roof, and there are walls there. And that doesn't work because that's taseh velo min asui. You have two parts of the Mishnah, which is the Gadish, which is taseh velo min asui. The first part of the Mishnah that says that I'm using non-kosher schach. If I have non-kosher schach and space in between the non-kosher schach that equals the non-kosher schach where I put in kosher schach, then that's also a sukkah k'shera. Let us say that our Mishnah is a big problem for Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, because we had a machloket itmar, machloket amoraim, which is parutz ke'umeid. If you have as much empty space as standing space, Rav Papa amar mutar, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua amar asur. This is within the Dinei Shabbat, within the Dinei Eruvin. For instance, if you have boards that are 3 tefachim wide, and then you have spaces of 3 tefachim between them, so you're outside the world of Lavud. Had they been less than 3 tefachim away, then it would be halachically a solid wall and the empty space wouldn't matter. But since they are 3 tefachim away from each other, now you have exactly 50-50, open space and covered space, with 3 tefachim between each board. So those 3 tefachim between each board, what is their status? This is a case of parutz ke'omeid. You have equal open space and closed space. Is that considered to be closed? Is that area considered to be encompassed for Shabbat? That's the machloket. Rav Papa says yes. Parutz ke'omeid, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yeshua says no, that it's not enough. You have to have more omeid. Basically, the question is about the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. What is the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai? Is the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai you have to have more standing than open space, or you can't have more standing space than closed space? And that leaves open the possibility of what the 50-50 is, depending on how it's articulated, the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. And that's what the Gemara says in Eruvin. That's what their machloket is premised on. So now, our Mishnah seems to indicate when you're 50-50, you're fine. So how come here, in a 50-50 case, you're okay? So, Amar lecha Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, my kimotan. What does it mean, kimotan? Binichnas v'yotzei. It's a case of nichnas v'yotzei, which means that it's not trim. Meaning that you're not getting in exactly 50% schach, in between 50% of pasul schach, because in order to get in the schach, you need space. You need room to get it in. So by definition, if you need room to get in the kosher schach in between the non-kosher schach, it means that the kosher schach now exceeds the non-kosher schach. Because between the airspace and the non-kosher schach, they're equal to the kosher schach. Now the kosher schach is greater than the non-kosher space that you have there. If you have shipudim there, and you want to put schach in the space in between, they're exactly equal. It's going to be very hard to get the schach in because it's a tight fit. Very tight fit. So what he says is it's not such a tight fit. It's a loose fit. Well, so by definition, it's a loose fit. It's not really 50-50 anymore. That's his answer, which is that it's not a snug fit. Then the Gemara asks the question, after the tzamtzim, you're able to be mitzamtzim. Our assumption is that you can be so exact. You can be so precise. By the way, this is the Girsa of Rashi. We'll finish up with the Girsa of Rashi, and then we'll come back and show that there is another Girsa in the Gemara that reads slightly differently. This is what he's saying. Kol kamoto benichnas v'yotzehu, stamahu benichnas v'yotzeh te'in derech l'tzamtzim. Because you're not going to generally be exact. Lo kavein kamotam mamash, lo pacho v'lo yoter, pachinan, v'ayim intein ta'ato l'kach, efshar l'tzamtzim. You can't be mitzamtzim. V'ktani matnitan kamotam kshira, v'abilei parutz ke'omeid. The Gemara says, efshar l'tzamtzim. So then, Amar Rabbi Abi, so Rabbi Abi says, mim adif. Answer here is that he actually puts in more. It's not a case of mitzamtzim. Ela ma'adif rebach shementayim aracha v'ashibudim u'kmotam tektani b'nichtas v'yotzei. So that when it says kmotam, it means b'nichtas v'yotzei, and then by definition they're going to have more skach than shibudim. That's ma'adif. But the original answer of the Gemara was that whenever you say they're equal, it seems like it's impossible to be equal exactly, and therefore we'll assume that the skach exceeded the pasul that's there. But the Gemara says efshar l'tzamtzim. It is possible to get to an exact number. Well, if it's possible to get to an exact equal amount, then why are you saying that by definition, if you have it to be equal, then it's probably the schach will exceed? Rather, you have to say that it's bima adif. Adif means that he intentionally put more schach in than psul. And that's the meaning of kimotam in our Mishnah. It means, but in the case of nichas v'yotze, that there is excess space there. And kimotam is not that that's the natural state of things, but that is the case in our Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah is where there is ease of access and egress for the schach to go in and out. And therefore, if you fill that whole area with schach, it certainly will exceed the pasul schach that is there. Rav Amar, afilu teima b'shein ma'adif. Even if you don't have excess space, mayu nutunim sheti notein erev, erev notein sheti. Depends on how you lay out the schach. If you lay out the schach perpendicular, or you lay it out parallel. Until now, we've been assuming that you lay out the schach parallel to the non-kosher schach. The answer of Rava is no, you don't lay it out in a parallel manner. You lay it out perpendicular to the non-kosher schach. By doing that, then you don't even have to be ma'adif because by putting the non-kosher schach on top, it clearly covers all the space that is there. Oh, so that's right. So how does it work now? What is Rava's solution in the end? You only have 50% kosher schach. So how do you solve your problem here? So Rashi says, "De al korchach imenu notein rashi akanim al shibudim hari noflim laaretz v'hilchach avalei kasher merube al apsul umevatlan." Rashi says now the kasher will exceed the non-kosher schach and it will be mevatel them. How it's mevatel is interesting over here because that is somewhat difficult. Rashi said before that in order to mevatel something, generally they have to be mixed together, and here they're not mixed together, but it might be over here, and this might be Rashi the Shittato. Rashi the Shittato said before that the only thing that is mevatel, another piece of schach, is that if it's made to be schach. But if it's simply there to be functional, for instance, if it's decorative, if you have a sheet that's decorative there, it doesn't ruin the schach. On the other hand, if you have another layer of schach, it would ruin the schach that's there, it's either because sukkah tachat sukkah, or because you're putting something non-kosher over there. Rashi said before, if you throw the cloak on top of the schach, it's not a problem, because you didn't intend for it to be for shade. You simply wanted the schach to hold up this item, but that's not a problem, that does not ruin your sukkah because of that. So Rashi the Shittato may say here, and what's what he just explained here, that the shipudim are there not to be schach, but to hold up the schach on top of it. So because they're holding up the schach on top of it, they're not schach. If they're not schach, then the kosher schach is fine, and the stuff below it is nitbatel to the schach because it's functional for the schach. It's holding up the schach. That was might be what Rashi means here, mevatel. The mamidei schach can't be mekabel tuma. Clear according to Rashi that the mamidim can be mekabel tuma, and Rashi is saying that the mamidei schach here are simply that. They're mamidei schach, and they're no longer classified as schach. That's why they're batel the gavei schach. That's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it is, that's what Rashi said before by chavatan. Chavatan means that you place it down together. So here, they're together. They're close enough together that they are mevatel. The schach is mevatel, the other schach. And it works. Those are the one or two ways to explain Rashi. The fact that you could put the whole thing covered in schach, That's enough to be mevatel the rods that are underneath it, and they're considered to be mixed together in that case, and it's mevatel. You have excess schach over the non-kosher schach, and that's enough. So those are one of two ways to explain Rashi's pshat over here, that it's betel, the gabay, the other schach. So that's the way Rashi explains it. But that's when Rashi's girsa. And what's interesting here is, and this is what Tosafot points out, that there's a disconnect between the way the sugya moves. The sugya moves, and answer is nichtas v'yotze. It says that, oh, it's nichtas v'yotze, and then the sugya moves on to the next thing, amar v'yami b'madif. But nitzan lo akshar b'tzimtzum, our Mishnah didn't say that tzimtzum was right, b'madif revach shimbentayim. That he has extra space in between, al revach shiputim, uchumotam diktani b'nichtas v'yotze. Similar to what we said by the nichtas v'yotze, that there's more space, it's not exactly 50-50. The question is, what changed from, when the Gemara says amar v'yami, what changed between that and the previous statement of Nichtas V'yotze? The Gemara says, Efshar L'tzamtzem. So why is the answer that is B'Nichtas V'yotze? You could be exact. And since you could be exact, why do you have to say there's extra airspace there? So that's the Gemara's question on him. And then what does the Gemara say? Amar Rabbi Ami B'Madif. He gives the same answer again. It's B'Nichtas V'yotze. It's a case where there is airspace there. So what did he do that answered the question, or basically the challenge of the Gemara, that you are able to be mitzamtzeim, and therefore the answer of nichtas v'yotze doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And then the Gemara goes on and says the same thing again, which is basically it's nichtas v'yotze. So there's like a little bit of a disconnect between the Gemara's question, and then the Gemara just moves on as if the question never existed and says the same answer again. That's what Tosafot criticizes in Rashi. Tosafot says that that's not the derech ha-Gemara. The fact that the Gemara is written in this way shows you that it's not the case, and he favors the Rabbeinu Hanano's girsa, and the Rabbeinu Tam had the same girsa, which is va'i'efshar l'tzamtzeim, is the question of the Gemara here, not va'i'efshar l'tzamtzeim. Rather, the Gemara's question here is va'i'efshar l'tzamtzeim. You're saying it's a case of nichnas v'yotze, so therefore, okay, it's not 50-50, you're going to have a little more skach than the shipudim, and the Gemara says va'i'efshar l'tzamtzeim. You can't get it so exact. How are you going to be so exact about it? That little extra space of nichnas v'yotze is going to make it that the skach is more than 50% over the other. And v'yifshar l'tzamtzeim, we can't be so exact, we can't be so precise that you have just a little more schach and airspace than you have of shipudim, that we're not so exact about. So what's the solution now? Rabbi Ami is answering that question, b'madif. Madif means you put schach across the whole thing. Not just that you put it in the empty space, you put it over the whole thing. So now, once you're ma'adif, when you put in excess schach, shemar v'pesel ad shemichaseh shipudim, you put so much schach that it even covers over the non-kosher schach. And it's mevatel it. So over here, Tosfot has it really being mevatel the kosher schach, because he has it mixed in and out and all over it. That's why he's saying that it's mevatel it. Not like Ravo's case where it's going against the grain. Here he says even when it's going with the grain, in the parallel case, he covers the whole thing with schach, over the whole thing in parallel with the shipudim. And that's what's mevatel it. That's why, okay, you have shalit samse. But you put on enough schach that there's no question that you have more kosher schach than non-kosher schach, and it's mevatel, the non-kosher schach, and that's why it works over here. That's Rav Ami's answer to the question of the Gemara of Yevshar L'tzamtzeim. And then Rava comes along and says, Afilo otem b'she'en ma'adif. Even if you're not ma'adif, even if you don't put an excess schach, but rather, you put it against the grain of the sukkah. And that's how Rava solves the problem. Again, he says, even afilo teino b'shein ma'adif, you don't have to put up so much excess schach, you just have to run against the grain. In this instance, he says, even if you're not ma'adif, we know that there's not, even if you're not able to be mitzamtzeim, the way that the kosher schach is situated on top of the non-kosher schach, it's mevatelet. Rashi says, by definition, it has to be more. Tosafot says, even if it's equal, and I'll explain why, according to Tosafot. Now, Tosafot either could be one of two reasons. Either it's mevatelet, although he rejects that within Rashi, or he can learn like Rashi, which is that it's a mamid here. But Rabbeinu Tam before had a shita, and this is what he explained in Rabbi Tenu before. Rabbeinu Tam says before, if you have a kosher sukkah, then non-kosher schach cannot be mevatelet. If you have kosher schach, or kosher setup of a sukkah, it doesn't matter what you put on top of it or underneath it, it's not mevatelet. Once you have a kosher area, then everything else becomes irrelevant in context. Even if it was put on afterwards, even if it's put on before or afterwards, it doesn't matter. Once you have a kosher roof, the other schach becomes irrelevant. Exactly. So that's Rabbi Tenu Tam l'shitato before, by the Tshuvat Hagaonim. Tshuvat Hagaonim was that once you have a kosher sukkah, everything else that happens is irrelevant.
Put it on parallel.
No, because in parallel you're going to have a problem because you're not certain that that's the Gemara's present. You have Shad Tzam same. Because each part you have pasul schach sitting between the kosher schach. And if they don't exceed it, then it's not going to be mevatelet. And parallel place, then you have something that's the same size blocking in between it. You're not going to get a kosher sukkah. Because they're not standing alone. They're on the same plane as the non-kosher schach. You don't have a kosher sukkah. You don't have a kosher layer of schach. You have kosher schach and non-kosher schach. That doesn't work. So that's two different ways to learn over here. One according to Tosafot, one according to Rashi. Tosafot here addresses a separate issue about Yerushal Letzamtzeim and Letzamtzeim throughout Shas, which is, we have a machloket Rabbi Yossi Aklili and the Rabbanan throughout Shas about whether you are able to be Letzamtzeim or not. Tosafot, first of all, establishes that whoever holds that you can be exact, thinks you can be exact bidei shamayim and exact bidei adam. That's number one. And whoever holds that you cannot be exact, that's whether bidei adam or whether bidei shamayim. The second thing he says is, the loch is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili when it comes to bidei adam. When it comes to action of an individual, it is efshal l'mitzamtzeim and we pass it like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But bidei shamayim, it's efshal l'mitzamtzeim and we pass it like the Rabbonon bidei shamayim. Now he says, when we pass like the Rabbonin, Yevshad Letzamtzeim B'dei Shemayim, he says that could be expressed in one of two ways. That could be expressed in the way that there is no way to have it be exact. You can't have two things happen simultaneously B'dei Shemayim. For instance, if you have two babies that are born, it was for sure they did not come out simultaneously. It's impossible. B'dei Shemayim, these things don't happen. Unless it's planned and set up and perfect in that way, you're not going to have that. If you build a wall that is exactly equal, you have an open space that's equal to the non-open space, you could create such a creation. When you are intending to create such a creation, it can happen. Naturally, in nature, it's not going to happen that you have exact things happen at simultaneous moments or exact same size. Just doesn't happen naturally. So that's one way to explain Bidei Shemayim. Or he says that there is a possibility of Bidei Shemayim, but we're unable to discern. That, yes, Bidei Shemayim, it's possible that the two babies were born exactly the same time. But there's just going to be no way we're ever going to know. So Bidei Shemayim, it's Yevshal Etzamzeim, not because it wasn't Etzamzeim, but because there's no way for us to discern which one was first. So either it's a physical impossibility, or it's a possibility, but it's impossible for us to discern in the end what the nature of this is, or whether it's exact or not. So that's why it tells the Paskins that in natural occurrences we don't have that, but Bidei Adam we do have that. That has Nafkaminot and Mitzvot about whether we have to be Mitzamzeim. Bidei Adam, you're able to be Mitzamzeim, so then you have to get exact items. Many of the Rishonim Achronim bring this up in the sides of Midot. That lo nitena Torah l'malachei asharet. And therefore, when the Torah tells you to eat a kabetza, it means to eat a kabetza. It's not an exact measurement. And some of the Rishonim even point out, that's exactly why they used a kabetza. Because that way everybody has an egg. Everybody can have an egg and they can figure out basically what they need to get to in size. But you don't have to use a microscope. You don't have to use a computer and all these things to figure out to get to the exactitude that you're looking for. In general, Chazal are looking for generally in the right area. We're not asking you to do things in such a manner that they're so exact that you have to start using aids to create that exactitude. And that's what many of the poskim say about mitzvot, that we don't ask for that type of precision. When we say Yeshar L'Tzamtzeim, Yeshar L'Tzamtzeim means by your natural eye. The natural eye is enough to be Mitzamtzeim. If to the natural eye it looks equal or it looks like you hit the shiur, that's enough. As long as it looks to you like you have the shiur, that's enough. If you don't have the shiur exactly, then when you go measure it to the millimeter, it's not. You don't have to worry about that. All right. So that's the Efshar L'Tzamtzeim in Tosafot. We'll just read a little more here. Oh, Barukota Mita, with the bed frame. Lema Mesaile the Rabbi Ami Bar Tuvyumi. This should help out Rabbi Ami Bar Tuvyumi. Dama Rabbi Ami Bar Tuvyumi, Sochucha Bivlai Kelim Psula. If you use leftover clothing, it's Psula. Clothing was Mekabel Tuma. Now the clothing is worn down, and it's less than a shiur that would be mikabel tuma. Can you use this? Or is it gzera, otu, a regular kli, that the residual of the kli cannot be used? Less than 3x3, so it's not mikabel tuma. Is there a gzera tachamim on the residual? Rabbi Ami Bar Tuvyumi says yes. Says, let's say our Mishnah is approved to him. Why? Because what does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says that if you use pieces of the bed frame, it's psula. Well, when's a bed frame problematic? When it's together. Once you take it apart, it's not a kli anymore. It's not a kli anymore, then why can't you use the boards of the bed frame? It must be like Rav Ami Bar Tuvyumi. The answer Gemara says, no. Kedamar Rav Chanan Amar Rabbi, Baruka Ushtei Kraim. It's a case where you have the longer of the bed frame boards, but it still has the two legs on it. Or, Bikzara Ushtei Kraim. Or you have the shorter, the head or the foot of the bed, with the two legs on it. So it's not simply the board, it's the board with the legs on it. Which, we'll see in a second why that matters. So over here, Achanami, in our case in the Mishnah, it's Baruka Ushtei Kraim. Now the Gemara wants to know, where's that from? Where's that case from? Where did he make the original statement that we're lifting it and using it over here? So Amarav, it's from this Mishnah in Kelim. The Mishnah in Kelim says, Mita mitamat chavila, umitaheret chavila, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that a mita can only become tmeah when it's a single unit, when the whole bed frame is together. and mitara chabila. And you want to be mitaharet, you can put it into the mikvah as one big bed. You have to put it in together. Divri Rabbi Lezer chamim amrim, mitamat eparim. Even if they're broken apart in pieces, it can be mikabel tuma. Umitaharet eparim, and you can put it into the mikvah in pieces. My nihu. What are these pieces? If it's already in pieces, it's not mikabel tuma anymore because it's not a kli. So what are these pieces that are mikabel tuma? I'm Rabbi Chana, I'm Rabbi Aruka Ushtekraim. Long board of the frame with two legs on it, or Ktsara Ushtekraim, or short board of the bed frame with two legs on it. Lamai Chazio. Okay, great. So you have a board with two legs on it. What's it useful for? Lamis Mechinu Aguda, to put it adjacent to the wall. Ulameta Valayu, and to sit on it Mishte Ashle, and to string ropes between it. So basically what you do is you create a bed, that part of the bed frame is the wall. By having a board with two legs on it, that'll be the other side of the bed that you're stringing between it and the wall. So that's what it's useful for. So it has function, and that's why it remains tameh. Just so you know, that's the way the Mishnah explains it. The Tosefta has a slightly different interpretation of the position of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, and that is a bed, when it's attached together, if it's mekabel tuma in that way, then does that mean that the different parts are not a chatzitza for each other? Rabbi Eliezer believes that even if the bed is broken apart, if there are pieces that are still attached, if one piece becomes tamei, it affects the other piece. They're so integrated that it has implications in terms of tuma, and then, of course, for the mikveh. And therefore, while they're still attached, you can put them into the mikveh. Whereas the Chachamim believe that, even though when the bed's attached together, it is mekabel tuma, the Chachamim believe that if the bed is not whole, but there are pieces attached together, if one piece is tamei, it does not affect the other piece. And they're not integrated enough, therefore it has implications in the mikveh in terms of chatzitza. Each piece is viewed separately, and therefore if you try to put them together into the mikveh, it doesn't work, because there one's a chatzitza for the other. So the Tosefta has a slightly different reading of the argument here, but the way our Mishnah reads, the argument is like we set it up, or the way we suggested over here. Okay, we'll stop here.